The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Back on a numbers game live from VSiN Studios here, Circa Studios, Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin, everybody. Hanging out, talking Super Bowl 59. And Kelly, well, you know, with all of our bets, with all of the handicap of the Chiefs and the Eagles, you know, it's oftentimes interesting to just sit here as we are now in February of 2025 and just sort of hearken back on sort of Super Bowl betting, you know, recollections in the day. And I just want to say, obviously, you know, for those who have not heard the story before, when it comes to the Super Bowl, obviously we're at Super Bowl 59. I don't know, how far back do you remember like watching a Super Bowl?
Chargers Niners. Was that
Chargers
90,
Niners?
92, 93?
Wow. I can remember my
That's the first one I can remember, like, in basically in
understanding.
Understanding in full, watched with, you know, I think it was a little bit of a Super Bowl party going on, watched with a lot of like family and friends, like really close. It's the one I like remember clearly.
Here's how old I am. I can remember my dad betting me $5 on Super Bowl IX. He gave me the Steelers. He took the Vikings. I was $5 richer. It's like I won the lottery, and well, the rest is history, ladies and gentlemen. But you know, it's been said many times before. But for those who don't know it, obviously, Super Bowl betting has existed since the dawn of time, since the dawn of the Super Bowl itself. Super Bowl I with the Packers and the Chiefs back in the day. But the props really rose to prominence again, famously after Super Bowl 20. The Chicago Bears, or actually during Super Bowl 20, the run-up to Super Bowl 20 between the Chicago Bears and the New England Patriots, where Art Manteris decided to offer a special prop bet at Caesar's Palace on whether William the Refrigerator Perry would score a touchdown in Super Bowl 20. And of course, the impetus for that was the Bears were big favorites over the Patriots. He wasn't really generating as much action as he wanted. And William the Refrigerator Perry had been throughout this great 85 season of the Bears with one of the greatest defenses of all time. One of their gimmicks, if I could use that word on offense, was to throw their rookie defensive lineman, William the Refrigerator Perry, out of Clemson into the backfield. Mm-hmm. Sometimes he would block. Sometimes he would actually get the carry. He would plunge into the end zone. So Manteris decided, hey, how about, you know, will William the Refrigerator Perry score a touchdown in Super Bowl 20? And it got bet down from like 40-1 to 5-1. And everybody made out because, in fact, the Refrigerator did score a touchdown in Super Bowl 20. And as I mentioned a couple weeks ago, it was one of Mike Ditka's biggest regrets in his career, where he said, you know, because in the end, Walter Payton, who was sort of at the dawn of his career, had waited an entire career to play in a Super Bowl. He didn't end up scoring. So while bettors were enriched by it, Mike Ditka had a little sorrow about it in the end.
Which I don't know, that's cool of Ditka to say.
Yeah.
But it's still like one of the most famous moments in the history of the Super Bowl.
Here's the thing. That is where this entire cottage industry of Super Bowl props began, to the point where now, you know, we talk about it part and parcel with the Super Bowl. It is just, I mean, is it as much handle as the side in total? Sometimes it does approach that.
Yeah.
And so it's, you know, you can't get creative enough, or books can't anyway. And then, of course, it has spawned other things like, you know, it's been so popular to the point now where I've, you know, as far back as doing a podcast in the very beginning of the last decade, you know, I would have bookmakers on from offshore, and they would say, well, the most, you know, what's the prop that flummoxes bettors the most? And the answer to that is, you know, the prop that says, will a team score three times in a row, with the exception of 2-point conversions or extra points? Will a team score three times in a row? You have two of the best teams in football, if not the two best teams, playing in the big game. And so the bettor's reaction is to bet the no on that. And it's the yes that is juiced at minus 160, as it is currently. Sometimes it's much higher than that. Minus 160 is a bet. Minus 180 probably isn't. But bettors think the no ought to be the favorite. So they think it's completely mispriced, and so they all go and bet the no. It happens all the time. So that's you know, part of Super Bowl prop, you know, history as well, that's the prop that really sort of tricks newish bettors the most. One other thing that came up, and Stringfellow Hawk, I want to give him credit, one of our listeners, he sent me something about Super Bowl halftimes, too, because what spawned out of Super Bowl props ends up being this amazing cottage industry within a cottage industry of betting Super Bowl halftimes, betting national anthems, that kind of thing. And Stringfellow Hawk sent me a podcast that our buddy Pablo Torre did. We can call him his buddy, our buddy. Yeah. He was on the show. We love Pablo Torre. This was not on his podcast, but on one of Levitard's. And it was Pablo Torre and Sarah Spain. But there was always this guy named Wyatt Cenac. Cenac was on this podcast as well. Are you familiar with Wyatt Cenac at all? I wasn't either. But he is a comic. He was a writer on The Daily Show. And he went back and he said, you know, do you even remember when this burgeoning Super Bowl halftime thing started? And I was fascinated by this because the only Super Bowl that I've ever attended was Super Bowl 26 in Minneapolis between Washington and Buffalo. Well, Washington beat Buffalo 37-24 in a game that wasn't quite as close as that final score. But when people ask me, hey, who was the great halftime show at your Super Bowl when you went in January of 1992? And I always respond, well, I remember that Harry Connick Jr. sang the national anthem, but I don't know. I was trying to find my brother at halftime, you know, just to hear him be like, game's not done yet. It's only 17-0. Right. Just to hear him say that. And I don't remember what the halftime show was because there was no special halftime show. You know what the halftime show was?
What?
At Super Bowl 26? Winter Magic.
Yeah.
They were promoting the upcoming Winter Olympics. Now, Wyatt Cenac tells the story about this is how amazing halftime shows began, because Fox counter-programmed. They had the bright idea. Fox was still a young network at the time. They had the burgeoning idea to counter-program Super Bowl halftime show. And they did so by suggesting that the show in living color would do some comedy sketches while running a Super Bowl halftime clock on the bottom of the screen. And then they'd also have a performance by MC Hammer. This is on Fox counter-programming Winter Magic at the Super Bowl that I happened to go to. The last of the non-halftime big extravaganzas. And In Living Color, Keenan Ivory Wayans. Remember, In Living Color had Jim Carrey, Damon Wayans, Jennifer Lopez, Rosie Perez were fly girls. Became, obviously a spawn of many, many big stars. They said, no, we'll have MC Hammer on our show. Anyway, Hammer backed out of it, and they ended up doing a couple sketches, literally with like jokes about Richard Gere and gerbils, which was a big popular joke at the time. People of that age know what I'm talking about. I won't get into it.
I think it still is.
And then instead of MC Hammer, they ended up having Color Me Bad. So at halftime of that Super Bowl between Washington and Buffalo, Fox counter-programmed Winter Magic with a performance by Color Me Bad and sketches. And it was at that point that because Pepsi was like, wow, this is great. We'll have some of the In Living Color people do the Pepsi challenge. This will be great. That's when the NFL realized, oh, we need to own halftimes. Next year, Michael Jackson.
Boom.
And the rest is history.
I was just going through the list. It is an interesting mix of I think a lot of people could guess of just like the college marching bands, like that being a part of the halftime show. And then it's
old high school marching bands and the old Super Bowls.
It's just fascinating, though. It's a list of, like, the early decades almost. It's a mix of that and, yes, like Disney productions. Like, it's wild.
And I can even just tell you from my personal experience, when I started doing a podcast, when I started doing The Betting Dork with Marco D'Angelo and Ace. And we're talking like 2011 now, right? 2010, 2011. When I started talking about betting halftimes offshore, they kind of, I remember Marco specifically thought it was like I was an idiot for betting that kind of stuff. He was like, he was too cool to bet that kind of stuff. He just wanted to stick with the game props itself. And I remember my reaction. I'm not disparaging Marco. I'm just saying that was kind of the Vegas reaction to it. It's like, what are you talking about? Why are you betting that stuff? And my reaction was, trust me, it's going to be monster. Because you knew, right? People were so into it. And it is. And that sort of, even from then, the way that it has evolved, that's just like, what, 13, 14, 15 years ago, that the attitude has changed on that.
What's your, in all the years you've been betting the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
Because I think this is different. This is a different answer for almost anybody. But biggest impact in the way you bet and what can be bet on the game, has it been the props and all the props, or is it just the technology changes?
Well, let me answer that two ways. One, biggest win, Ravens crushing the Giants, was the most money I had ever bet at the time on anything. And I remember being just super nervous that I was over leveraged, right? And it worked out. But that was obviously the one that I remember the most because it was the most successful. By the way, the least successful was the Tampa Bay Kansas City one from a few years ago, where Tom Brady just destroyed the Chiefs. But the technology stuff, obviously, here in Vegas isn't quite as up to speed as other jurisdictions. But that's obviously been the biggest change because it allows you, right, to just have that in your pocket and make all kinds of bets. The sheer volume of the offerings now has gotten to the point, though, we alluded to this at some point. It's so tough to find things now.
Yeah.
And once you, the more frustrating thing is once you find something, how many people have had this experience? You find a prop you like, you try to circle back to it and you can never find it again. And you get so frustrated because you're like, where did I find it? I knew it was here somewhere.
Well, specifically for us in Vegas with all of it on the apps, yeah. It's, I mean, like, look, I bet some things, like I bet a couple props that I couldn't even really shop numbers on like I should because it's, oh, cool. I finally found it at one book. What are the odds I'm going to be able to find? How long is it going to take me to find it? Another book or two other books to compare the price?
Has it had a? Has the excitement peaked for you on them? Has it had a effect now where you're not betting as many as you used to?
I think it depends Super Bowl to Super Bowl.
I do too.
But probably generally, yeah, it's lessened over the years with the excitement. I just think if you're It just depends on what level of a bettor you are, right? And I think if you are, if you're taking this somewhat seriously or very, very seriously, I think the amount that you're betting on this game, you say it all the time. Is what's, or you know, how would you feel about this game if it was in the middle of a Sunday slate, right? And it's really shouldn't change your betting from that. So I think, yeah, it's definitely lessened over the years.
But we all are human. And so even though rationally, perhaps Kansas City versus Philadelphia would not produce a bet for you in the middle of an early slate on a normal weekend, I get it. It's still a Super Bowl. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
And so then Shakira just makes me nervous, Kelly. She just makes me nervous.
Shakira?
She affects me. Oh, sorry. Get ready for the big game. Big Game 59 with a big deal. It's your final week to save $59 on a VSiN Pro annual subscription when you sign up with promo code ANG. For just $181, you get a full year of VSiN Pro, including daily best bets to help you cash more tickets, exclusive betting splits from DraftKings and Circus Sportsbooks, 24/7 video with full access to the VSiN Watch app, plus all our betting guides and expert picks for the Super Bowl and upcoming March Madness. This special offer disappears after the big game, so don't miss out. Sign up now at VSiN.com/subscribe and use promo code ANG to lock in your savings. That's VSIN.com/subscribe.
ANG is an A numbers game.
Oh, sorry, Everett. I didn't give you your moment.
No, you're fine.
I apologize.
You faked me out.
I apologize. This is from, we get tweets at Beanie the Book. Russell Ambrose, if you're a Chiefs backer, the exchanges have much better numbers on Chiefs. Chiefs on Novik, -1.5 +103. Moneyline, -111. Kalshi -112. Do we really think it will hit Eagles' favorite? I don't know, Russell. I really don't know if it will. By the way, exchanges... Profit, Sport Trade, yes, absolutely better lines on all these. C. Spackler, I watched Joe Willie take the AFC to the promised land. However, the 1988 Super Bowl was an awful sensation for a Denver fan. At least I was not raised in Cleveland. Oh.
Bro, I never got my hat, by the way. I never got my AFC hat.
Oh, yeah, you're supposed to get your AFC bet. That's right.
What a loser.
What a Super Bowl that was after the 87 season, C. Spackler. Charles in Connecticut, Hoop Homer. Early 2000s, my early betting days, I did the three scores no. Seemed like a great bet. Lost. Argued with the book it was a winner because neither team scored three consecutive times. I thought times meant possessions. Have never made that bet again. Oh, that's interesting. That he thought it was three straight possessions.
Mm.
Torch D says, FanDuel has a cool sweepstakes promo going on. I need the brains of a numbers game to strategize this play. Buckle up. Oh, he's got a whole question. We'll take that off air. James Sott. Oh, my God, I remember that in living color halftime, Gil. Wow, first Super Bowl was Raider skins. Sorry, Gil. I will remember Marcus Allen's great touchdown run. Worst day of my childhood. Ladies and gentlemen, he is the host of his own podcast, Should Have Bet More. He's a star of the Megapod, which, by the way, we're doing after this show with Rufus, our Super Bowl 59 Megapod with Rufus Peabody. He's also the star of Chris Felica's podcast empire at Fox Sports. The Bear Bets podcast. It's Will Hill, everybody, and not the Will Hill on Twitter, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. What's happening, man?
Gilly, what's going on, guys? Yeah, usually I'm super looking forward to the Megapod. The fact that it's the last one just makes me so sad because I enjoy doing it. Such a fun hour and a half hour every week. The fact that it's the last one, man, it's a little bittersweet, but it should be fun.
I'm with you. I'm a little melancholy about the whole thing. I hope Todd knows it's happening. That's my first concern. And then touch and go.
It was a couple weeks ago.
Touch and go. Yeah. He shows up. He's betting college basketballs. This podcast gets in the way.
I can envision a scenario like maybe an hour and a half from now where we're calling him, texting him. He's getting surly, saying the communication wasn't clear enough.
Yeah.
That he was doing something else. I could see a little friction. Maybe I'll reach out to him and give a little nudge.
Thank you to everybody who is watching us live on Twitter now. We just started that like 4 weeks ago. And the audience has kind of grown with us on that because we don't really talk about it in advance. But it's kind of cool to now do it live on Twitter as well.
That was me last week. I was watching the Vegas Lifestyle. Really good. Fez and crack. Anytime you get Fez and crack, come on. You could be like Phil Jackson with Jordan Pippi. Just roll out the balls. You get out of the way.
Just roll the ball out of the court. Go to it, guys.
That was a great pot. Yeah, great pot. It is every year, but it's one of my favorites.
Oh, it's so great. And Meltzer.
I mean, especially when Will's not on. I mean, it kind of boosts it, you know.
Exactly. Oh, sorry. Hey, Will.
The silent part out loud.
Before we talk about Super Bowl 59, you wanted to make a comment about the Luka trade.
I did. I thought this was actually just a big missed opportunity by the Lakers to not trade for Nikola Jokic, to not trade for Victor Wembanyama, or maybe even both of them, to only get Luka back in this deal. Really, kind of a failure. I mean, usually I've never robbed a bank, but like in movies, when you rob a bank, you need some sort of a gun or a weapon. You don't just walk into the bank and they hand you the bags of cash. There's only one of two possibilities. It's either the Mavs are really stupid, or there is something major that we don't know about. And I don't want to hear about the weight. He's 270. I don't care if he looks like Cecil Fielder and he's eating donuts during timeouts, in the huddle. You can't trade this guy. He's 25. So again, this is just as dumb as we're all saying it is, which how do you get a job like this? They were in the finals last year. How can you be this dumb and have this job? Or there is something major we don't know about. Shocking. Absolutely shocking. I do think in the short term, the Lakers, once they get Luka back, will be a great over team because they have no defense, no rim defense, no size. Now they'll be a popular team in terms of the buyouts. And, maybe I'm sure they'll trade for somebody, a Nick Claxton or something, but they will, to me, they'll be an over, and Dallas will be an under team because they have Kyrie and Clay, but they have just some monster defenders, some defensive players in the middle. So, man, it's 2.5 days later. I'm still just kind of shocked. Usually in the sports landscape, we get the story, we move on, it's something else. Every couple of hours I just think to myself, did that really happen? Like this actually happened? This is actually real life? It's that stunning.
It's really true. We're almost fighting ourselves not to talk about it more.
No, absolutely. How the sports news cycle has become, like Will's talking about. We were like, most of us would move on. I'm a big NBA guy, but even I would have moved on a bit by now. I can't get it out of my head either, Will. And honestly, I don't think it still won't be real for me, until Luka Doncic hits the court in a Lakers uniform, because that's going to be, it's just going to be mind blowing.
There is one other tentacle. I hate to not move on, but there is one other thing that came up yesterday, which is there's reporting now. Forgive me, someone at ESPN, I can't remember who specifically, but there's
everybody's on the block.
There's reporting that Rob Pelinka actually talked Harrison down. Like at one point, he was going to include Dalton Connect and additional first rounds.
Don't want to give up too much.
And he was like, I don't know, Luka, this whole risk thing you're talking about might be a little too much. So why don't we just keep it to this?
And then he thanked Pelinka in the press conference.
Yes.
What have you ever seen that before?
They go back. But still, you're thanking Pelinka. Well, of course, Pelinka wanted to keep it quiet. Like he didn't want it to get out to anybody else. Like, what are you talking about? It's amazing.
For anybody that listens to like local sports talk radio, I don't really listen to it anymore, but you see you hear these trades all the time. In New York is famous for, local radio. People call up and back in the day, Yankees, we should trade for Barry Bonds. We'll give up Ted Lilly and another minor leaguer. They think it's a fair deal.
That's right.
And this is one that actually goes through. It's just insane.
That's right. The local talk. Hey, what if we give up backup guard, some wide receiver two and something for like a superstar? Yeah, I'm sure they'll agree to that. This is exactly that. You're right. Okay, Super Bowl 59. Remind us, what are you betting here on the side in total?
I don't even think I've bet it yet. I bet a couple props. I will be betting on, I will take the Chiefs. It'll be a small bet. I do think that the Eagles are the better team. The Eagles, you can tell me they're going to be favored. They're just, or they should be favored. They're better in a lot of positions, offensive line and receiver. I mean, just go down the rosters. The Eagles have a better roster, but it's like we talked about last week, like we talked about before the Bills game. To sit there for 3.5 hours with a bet in your account against Patrick Mahomes when the line is less than the field goal, it's not going to be me. It's a similar handicap to last year. I don't know that enough is being talked about the kicking difference. Now, Butker, since the injury, maybe hasn't been the same, but Elliott has been a disaster for Philly. I actually thought there was a possibility maybe they work out kickers between the NFC title game and the Super Bowl, because they won these games by so much and they beat Washington by so much. And, you know, not that they won a lot, by a lot against the Rams, but he missed two kicks against the Rams. He missed another kick against Washington. Yeah. He's missed kicks all year. This game's probably going to be close. Say what you want about the Chiefs. They give you close games one way or another. In a close game, and Wishnev, Todd brought this up in one of our group chats. In a close game, you want Andy Reid, Mahomes, and now throw in the kicker, Butker, or do you want Sirianni, Hurts, and then a shaky kicker with Elliott? I'll take the Chiefs, guys. So,
yeah
not going to be a huge bet. I'll go back to what I said before the Bills game. This is another game where you're going to feel like an idiot either way, because if the Eagles win and you have the Chiefs, you're going to say, geez, Eagles had the better team. Chiefs are due to lose one of these games. What was I thinking? Not that you can kill yourself too much for ever backing Mahomes, and obviously if it goes vice versa and you bet against Mahomes and you lose, you're gonna kind of deserve it. So I don't know. I had Jeff Parles, producer number nine, the Grover Cleveland of producers on my podcast, and he was bringing up a good point about how the Chiefs always have an unsuspecting hero. Tony 2 years ago in the Super Bowl, Sky Moore last year, Valdez Scantling. There's almost, and I hadn't made thought of this, there's almost like a late 90s Yankees feel to this Chiefs team, where just feel like they're always going to find a way to win. There is somebody that always comes out of nowhere to make a big play that you don't expect, an unsuspecting hero. So I don't know. Chiefs winning a high scoring game is kind of where I'm at here. I do like the over too. I think both offenses will have success.
Bet any props?
I'm with the rest of the world. I have Goddard over. I like Mahomes over attempts. I don't think the Chiefs will be able to run the ball effectively. I think their offensive line, especially run blocking, will be an issue. So I could see Mahomes getting in the high 30s in attempts. I think punts is still at 6.5. I like under there. So that's those are some of the main ones.
Yeah. Anecdotal. This is just like whatever comes in our sphere guest-wise. It feels like it is evenly split between Eagles backers and Chiefs backers. The Chiefs backers have a very simplistic, hey, it's Patrick Mahomes, just sure. Like what you said. It's the Mahomes Reed, you know, duo. Eagles backers just convinced they're the better team. Am I being prisoner of the moment? I don't remember a Super Bowl that is more evenly sort of divided. And that makes sense with the spread, right? With the line at one.
I'm trying to think of what the temperature was last year between Chiefs 49ers. It's kind of similar to last year, where I did feel like it was pretty balanced last year, but I can't remember. I don't know. Do you feel like that's a fair comparison last year?
Maybe. I mean, yeah. This one for sure, though. It's just sort of like,
yes,
it's very simplistic on both sides. And both sides are very, most people are very clear to say, yeah, it's not that big of a bet kind of thing. Thank you, yeah. Will. Talk to you in a little bit.
All right. See you guys. Thanks.
Nick Whalen from RotoWire on the other side. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
In sports betting and trading, probability is a key to success. Discover the power of high probability trading with Todd Bubba Horwitz, a former floor trader and sports bettor with over 45 years of experience. Visit bubbatrading.com/VSiN and get a free ebook on options trading. How about that? And use code VSiN500 to save $500 on any purchase. Once again, bubbatrading.com/VSiN. You'll get a free ebook on options trading. Gotta like free. And use code VSIN500 to save $500 on any purchase. And we'll get Todd on the show here after the Super Bowl when things have died down. We gotta get Todd Bubba Horwitz on here. We gotta get Dan Abrams on here. We got people We gotta get on here. If only we had a living, breathing producer on this show that make all that happen.
I've talked to these guys. I told them after the Super Bowl.
Oh, that's right. You talked to one of them. Yeah. You invited everybody. Ladies and gentlemen, he is a RotoWire senior analyst. He's also a host, SiriusXM NBA. You can follow him on Twitter at Whalen, but replace the L with the number one. It's Nick Whalen live from New Orleans, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. How you doing, Nick?
Doing well, guys. I'm doing well. Glad this worked out. You know, the internet here has not been fantastic, but we were able to find a good spot. It's been fun so far down here in New Orleans. Ran into your guy, JVT, yesterday. Hoping to spend some time with him this week. Kelly, we got our guy Emerson Lazia here from DraftKings, a fellow suffering Jags fan. So we were able to commiserate a little bit last night. But fun stuff overall, guys.
What building are you in there? What is that?
This is the New Orleans Convention Center,
okay.
I believe. So I wish I could kind of give you a round roundtable look here, but some pretty impressive sets from the big dogs, you know, CBS, ESPN. I mean, these are unlike anything I've ever seen. So I'm just here at a modest table in the middle of Media Row.
I'm going to say, though, Nick's the third person I've heard bring this up, Gil.
Yeah.
Internet gate already a thing at Media Row.
What do you mean?
I've heard he's the third person now I bring up. Well, why the internet speed's a little shaky here. I don't know.
Well, yeah. Would you agree with
what it is?
We had Drew Dinsick on earlier. He's down there in New Orleans. He was feeling in the air. There was a bit of a Chiefs apathy. Are you sensing that as well?
I'm definitely sensing it. I don't necessarily agree with it. I'm a Jaguars fan. I'm completely neutral here. My team is as far away from ever being in the Super Bowl as just about any in the league. So I could take an objective look at this. I mean, I think the Eagles are the more fun team, right? You know, I was out at the Superdome last night where they do the player media availability, and, you know, take your pick of what, 10 to 15 different Eagles who could be highlighted on their own little stage. You know, I think they select 8 players from each team who get their own little interview booth. And for Kansas City, it's like, okay, Mahomes, obviously, Kelsey, obviously, and Chris Jones. Other than that, you know, who are you throwing up there, right? It's not a team that is really marked by a ton of stars. You know, I think the Eagles have been the more fun team to watch. You know, the Saquon Barkley story has been fantastic. And, you know, certainly there's some apathy. I think a lot of that is, you know, referee related and these conspiracies, you know, about, you know, the NFL wants the Chiefs to win. I don't buy into that whatsoever. You know, I think the Chiefs style of play, specifically this season and last season, that's really what's led to this, perhaps more than anything. You know, obviously people are going to turn on a winner at any point, but, you know, it's not like the Chiefs have been fun to watch. You know, I think the way that they've been grinding out all these games this season, you know, there's this belief that, like, how do they keep getting away with this? They don't even look like a good team.
Yeah. I just, you know, again, this is a little sports talky, but I think about when people disliked the Patriots in all those years, right? And the Tom Brady, Bill Belichick Patriots winning all those Super Bowls. And yes, in their case, there was Spygate. Deflategate, though never proven they deflated the balls officially,
right?
But there was all these scandals also, and now with the Chiefs, the calling card of the haters is they get all the calls and that kind of thing. And I just, like, I sort of, you know, with Belichick and Brady, that was a little more hateable, also because they played, you know, Tom Brady played a more cerebral brand of quarterbacking than did Mahomes. Right. I just don't get the hate for the Chiefs. I really don't. Like, it's just like, this is greatness in front of us. Yeah. We'd all love to be fans of a team that are doing this, and I don't get it at all. I really don't. Apathy, yeah. Fatigue, whatever the word is.
I think part of it might be it's so recent. You know, we went through this with Tom Brady. Yeah, everybody hated the Patriots by the end of that run. Most people hated Tom Brady, even when he was in Tampa Bay, and we didn't get a break. You know, it's like Brady steps away, and all of a sudden, there's another Tom Brady atop the NFL who is, you know, sinking other franchises year after year. So maybe that's part of it as well. But I'm with you, Gil. I appreciate the greatness that is the Kansas City Chiefs. I would love to see a three-peat, you know, for the first time in NFL history.
Did you bet it that way?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I'm on Kansas City here, guys. And, you know, really, it's there's not much logic to it outside of I'm not losing money on Patrick Mahomes. And, you know, I think
that's right.
If you want to dig in on what we saw against Buffalo, you know, I think the Chiefs did play their best game of the season. They played their highest scoring game of the season in the biggest spot. And it was yet another reminder that there's no team really in NFL history, perhaps other than the Tom Brady Patriots, that you trust more in these high leverage situations, right? It's like every single key third down, it feels like the Chiefs are able to pick up. You know, every time they're in the red zone, they find a way to punch it in. And I think the end of that game, you know, where they needed to pick up multiple first downs, you know, Buffalo had time even after that final fourth down stop and the Chiefs, you know, go up three. If they get a stop, you know, there was time for Josh Allen to go down and get a field goal or maybe even a touchdown. And there's just something about the Chiefs, man. Samaje Perine, of all guys, you know, getting the key first down at the end of the game. I just think there's going to be so many of those spots in a Super Bowl setting. And I just trust the Chiefs to convert more than I do Philly.
If I came to you from the future and I told you, guess what, Nick? One of these teams blew out the other. Which is the more likely team to author that blowout?
That's a really good question. And I certainly don't see this game as a blowout. Ironically, I think if it is a blowout, somehow Philly might be that team. You know, it's like the Chiefs are the team that I trust to win a close game. That's really all they do. Mm-hmm. But Philly is the team that has that firepower, right? And, you know, you look at the AFC Championship game again, and Patrick Mahomes threw the ball 10 yards past the line of scrimmage 4 times in that game. Like, the Chiefs do not generate explosive plays. Like, their only hope is, you know, you hit a quick pass to Xavier Worthy and it's well blocked and he can run down the sideline. You know, it's like they don't have that downfield passing game. DeAndre Hopkins played 11 snaps in the AFC Championship game. We'll see if he's even a part of this game plan. So I don't know that it's necessarily in the Chiefs' nature to blow teams out. They didn't really do that at all during the regular season. Even a lot of the lower opponents that they faced, you know, every game felt like it was somewhere between, you know, 1 points and 9 points. So I think the Chiefs win the game. But I to your question, I think if it is a blowout, Philly would be the side that I could see doing that.
That's the reason I ask it, because I'm a Chiefs backer as well, but I think I feel that way too, that if it were a blowout, yeah. I guess part of that's because we saw the Chiefs against the Buccaneers a few years ago actually right. get blown out, so we do have that muscle memory of it. And all they do is win tight games, 17 of them in a row, right. which is just spectacular, 12 in a row this season. And yes, the Eagles, as you just said, I don't want to repeat it, but as you just say, they're built in a way where they do wear out teams in the second half. So we could see that happening. What props have you bet?
Oh, boy, guys, I got a whole list that I've been parading around Media Row this week.
You're going around with a Torah.
Yes. Yes, exactly. A Torah, if you will. I played Jalen Hurts over 25 and a half pass attempts right at open after championship weekend. That's now up to 27 and a half. At DraftKings, I still like it. Certainly don't like it as much as 25 and a half, but the guy threw the ball 28 times in the NFC Championship game against a much better, run defense in Washington. He was pulled midway through the fourth quarter, still went over this number. So I do think this is a spot where the Eagles, of course, want to run the ball. They want to try to rip off those explosives with Saquon Barkley, but the Chiefs are going to be ready for that. They're going to be gearing toward that. So I do like the attempts over for Jalen Hurts. I would tether that in to Devontae Smith. I'm looking at his yardage prop now, 50 and a half at DraftKings. So much attention on Saquon, so much attention on AJ Brown, even Dallas Goedert. Everybody loves the Goedert props this week. I think Devontae Smith is kind of the sneaky guy in that wide receiving core, you know, working the sideline, working the middle of the field, much like we saw with Khalil Shakir in the AFC title game. And then one that I really like, guys, and I'm worried that I like this too much. Will there be a 2-point conversion attempt?
Uh-oh.
This is plus 115. This is plus 115 at DraftKings. Again, I think we get a close game. I think both these teams very comfortable going for two, Philly especially. Five of the last nine Super Bowls have included a 2-point try. We've had seven total 2-point tries in those last nine Super Bowls. And, you know, teams are more aggressive than ever in these situations. So I think this is a pretty good value at plus money. And if you want to take that up a level, a successful 2-point conversion is plus 250.
So that's I'm glad you made that distinction. So what the plus 115 is just an attempt.
Yeah, I bet it too, Nick. I bet it yesterday.
Just an attempt.
And you are simpatico with Kelly, who talked about that earlier. That's the key to that, right? So yes, the plus 250 means you have to actually get the attempt and convert it.
Correct.
We're just betting on them not running out of kicker. Offense stay on the field. We're good. We cash.
Yeah.
You're betting on a situation points wise where the team trailing needs to go for two, or a defensive penalty that gets them ball at the one, and then they're like, well, we got to go for two now, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Eagles have gone for it a ton this year too. So who knows? Maybe they want to make that statement early. Go up eight.
Anything else on the scroll, Nick? Anything else?
You know, I'm looking at Xavier Worthy as well. You know, I mentioned him earlier. He's become such a huge part of this Chiefs offense, really dating back to the final month of the regular season when this started to look at least a little bit more like the Chiefs of old. Again, we saw in the Buffalo game, not a whole lot downfield, trying to get the ball out quickly. I think that's going to be imperative, you know, against a significantly better pass rush in Philly. So I'm looking at the anytime touchdown for Xavier Worthy. They use him on those jet sweeps around the goal line. And I like the over 5.5 receptions for him as well.
Okay, Nick, enjoy your time in New Orleans. You got big things planned this week?
Well, hopefully we get on the golf course, guys. I'll be here through Friday night. So we'll see where the rest of the week takes us.
Nick, another guy who's Radio Row, and then deuces for the game itself. Nick, enjoy. Appreciate it, man. Thank you so much.
All right, will do, guys. Thanks for having me.
Nick Whalen, everybody, right here on A Numbers Game. We'll come back, wrap things up, give you our best bets of the day. That's next, right here at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back on A Numbers Game, live from Circa. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. It's time for our best bets of the day, courtesy of GBank, the official bank of VSiN. I shall begin once again. I'm on the Chiefs minus the 1.5. I made this bet immediately after the championship games. Right now, it's the Chiefs minus one. We'll see. We'll see where it goes from here. The big move towards the Eagles has not happened quite yet. Then, for those who missed it, I have two bets on what Kendrick Lamar's first song will be for the halftime show. Not Like Us. 2-1 is the short shot play. It's not the short shot. It's the second short shot on the board. And then the more long shotty one is swimming pools. Bidlin, drank. Kelly, drank. That's that one. It's 7-1. But I think Not Like Us has a big shot at it, at 2-1. Also, the national anthem. I talked about this earlier in the week. I have under 125 seconds. And I said lay minus 160 on John Batiste's national anthem rendition. I went through a whole thing about John Batiste. That moved 2 seconds shorter to 123 and now has moved an additional 2 seconds shorter to 121. So we're way ahead of the national anthem number. I hope everybody jumped in on that. Mr. Bidlin, sir.
Yeah, speaking of CLV, I really thought my AFC bet was going to be the sharp way to go, even though this market usually isn't. And Gil, once again, it doesn't really pan out because I see our great friends over at the South Point have finally ticked to minus 115 on the money line for the Kansas City Chiefs. sometimes you can just be too smart or too dumb for your own good, I guess.
You try.
Yeah, tried. AFC to win the Super Bowl for me, so Chiefs, I'm not buying off that position, though. I do side with the Chiefs here. Patrick Mahomes to win Super Bowl MVP bet yesterday at plus 125. I do agree with Drew. You could look live at this, too, and possibly get a longer number. I will attempt to do that as well. Like you said, I don't know about you. None of these are huge, huge bets for me. Worthy over 5.5 rushing yards, I did add yesterday, too. I know this is a very popular bet early. I liked it early, but it was bet so much early. I had to wait for it to kind of come back down. 5.5, you could find it minus 110 at a couple shops here in Vegas now. So bet that. I do expect him to get involved. He's been pretty active in the run game. We've seen the Chiefs do this often in the Super Bowl before. And then the running backs both attacked. Kareem Hunt over 42.5 rushing yards. Isaiah Pacheco, longest rush, under 8.5 yards. And then for some game props, both teams to score 1+ touchdown in each half. Yes, minus 115. Will there be a 2-point conversion attempt? Yes, plus 110. I was not as cool as Nick Whalen. I didn't get 115.
I still like it, though. Of all yours, that's the one that I gravitate towards for sure. This is from guest on the show. By the way, every show on the network, all their guests, all the host picks for the day. We recap. Celtics for Drew tonight. Celtics +2 versus the Cavaliers. The Celtics, when we last saw them, of course, storming back against the Philadelphia 76ers on Sunday. Nets +9 versus the Rockets, and the Pacers laying 5 versus the Trailblazers. Pacers got did Pacers end up winning last night, but they did not cover.
Yeah, it was fun. Yeah. I was on the Pacers. Me and Zach Cohen, I believe, were head to head on that game, so he took the money. I guess I should update. I did have an NBA bet. If you did go over to VSiN.com, I had an NBA bet in there on the Raptors for tonight. I just bought off of it though because RJ Barrett just got downgraded for that game for the Raptors. So Knicks in Toronto tonight. Knicks with a great game last night against the Rockets. Head up to Toronto. I like Toronto, but no RJ Barrett. I'm off of it.
Drew also on the Eagles at plus 105 versus the Chiefs. Even he admits not a huge bet for him, as he is telling all the folks on Radio Row. Will Hill was here earlier. He's on the Chiefs money line versus the Eagles. He's on the Dallas Goedert over 4.5 receptions and on Patrick Mahomes over 35.5 pass attempts in Super Bowl licks. And then Nick Whalen from RotoWire. He's on the Chiefs on the money line. I'm telling you, this is so evenly split.
Yeah, it really is.
And then, by the way, the spread reflects this, right? But it's really panning out with all of our guests and those that we speak to. Devontae Smith over 50.5 receiving yards from Nick as well in Super Bowl 59. Will there be a 2-point conversion attempt? Yes, plus 115. He's a little cooler than you. And then Jalen Hurts over 25.5 pass attempts in Super Bowl 59, which is interesting with Nick because he's on the Chiefs. But he's got, so his game script has the Eagles having to throw the football.
Yeah, play catch up.
To sort of, to catch up in this ball game. So that's where he is with that. Once again, GBank, the official bank of VSiN, all the best bets recapped every show, every single day here on the network. If you're serious about sports betting, you need the GBank Visa signature card. Most credit cards treat sportsbook and gaming transactions as cash advances, even when you put your own money on the card. GBank treats gaming transactions as purchases, so you're typically saving up to 3-5% on cash advance fees right there, right now. For a limited time, you'll receive a $250 bonus after you spend $1,000 in the first 90 days. Apply now at VSiN.com/GBank. That's VSiN.com/GBank, subject to credit approval, terms, and conditions apply. Howard Cosell making an appearance in that GBank parade. Mm-hmm. Friday, I was not here. You cheated on me with Joe Serrallo, host of Cashing Out, and you guys talk Gatorade. You're usually the Gatorade guy. Do you have a Gatorade play?
This is a tough year for Gatorade, man. No, this is like the first year I probably don't even want to know the answer to this question, but this is the first year in a very long time I have not bet this. Because I don't know if you remember, Gil, but there is a correct answer to what is the best Gatorade. Well, somehow we have the odds off. See, Ryan was setting the odds of where they should be, and maybe I sent them to them this way because this is the way I think. Blue's the best Gatorade. And it's just undeniable fact. It's really not an opinion. It's just a fact.
Well, can I tell you something? I used to think blue was the best Gatorade also.
Uh-oh.
Then I got sick, and I blue Gatorade'd myself to death, like I waterboarded myself with blue Gatorade. And yellow has returned to my top spot.
Okay, so yellow's not bad. Yeah. It's always been a okay go-to. Look, the purple's very good. Purple is the short shot because the Chiefs have used it the past 2 years after they've won. So understandable why it is the short shot. Yellow, green, or whatever you want to call it. This is what the Eagles used the last time they won. Makes sense. Matches their jerseys. The Chiefs have used red before. As well. Those are all the betting options. Understand why purple's the short shot. I'm not going to get involved unless I see a really long number pop up on blue. I still would only bet blue.
And there was some, this isn't even news on this, but yesterday Patrick Mahomes was asked, what's your favorite Gatorade color or what's your favorite flavor? He said green. And then Saquon Barkley.
Yeah, which is the yellow one. I don't understand what people call it green.
Well, there is a green, right? Saquon Barkley then asked, and he liked the red. So they went opposite team colors on that. But I don't think that has any bearing on what the Gatorade color ends up being.
Nah, me either.
No.
Me either. I mean, but it's the yellow green. Because, like, what color is a tennis ball?
That's green to me. Oh, it's yellow?
I don't know, it's yellow to me. Yeah, like, that's where the Gatorade conversation
goes. You're right.
Goes.
It's like a fluorescent yellow.
Yeah,
no, you're right. By the way, we're talking about, like, halftime show history and all that stuff today. Do you know the Gatorade bath history? Do you know the origins of that? By the way?
No, I do not. Actually, I feel like I have heard the story, but I don't remember it anymore.
Yeah, because we talked about, obviously, the props began with Art Manteris putting up the Ferulium refrigerator prop during Super Bowl 20. We talked about the Super Bowl halftimes becoming a big deal after Super Bowl 26. The Gatorade bath tradition began in 1984. You don't remember 1984, do you, Kelly?
No, Bellin? I did not.
New York Giants nose tackle Jim Burt. Dumped a cooler of Gatorade on Bill Parcells. And then it's sort of...
How does that become a tradition? Like, you know what I mean? Like, I could see one guy doing it, like, the first time it happened. Like, oh, this is a good idea. Let's do this.
I'm glad you asked. Jim Burt felt mistreated by Bill Parcells during practice before a game against the Skins. And when the Giants won... By the way, Parcells had Burt doing extra drills and workouts, including, like, holding dumbbells... punching a padded wall, and the Giants won the game against the Skins 37-13. They crushed them, and so Burt, in sort of like this act of revenge, dumps the Gatorade on single-handedly onto Bill
Parcells.
Which is
then genius, because what's he going to do, get mad after a win?
Well, so it didn't really, you know, it sort of stayed with the Giants. I don't know that they did it between 84 and 86, but it really became popular when the Giants won the Super Bowl after the 86 season. Then from that point forward, it sort of spread, because during that 86 season, he got the Gatorade bath every single time the Giants won. So 86 is when it became a regular thing. And obviously, you know, now they talk about what's been the most popular color since 2001. This is just in terms of like Gatorade stats. Orange, most popular color since 2001. Clear and blue have been used 4 times each, talking about the dumps during the Super Bowl. Yellow and purple have each been used 3 times. Some teams choose a color based on superstition, or they poll their players. So maybe that Saquon Patrick Mahomes thing does matter.
I mean, look, the purple could be too obvious. Like, I don't, like, plus 175, like, that might be the bet we should all be making. I mean, literally the past 2 years they've used purple. What, like, we expect them to change that?
What's after, where does purple rank for you? It's like third, right?
Purple's pretty good. Yeah, purple is pretty good. It's up there for
What's
sure.
What's the worst? What's the one you can't?
Oh, red, fruit punch. Like, it's syrupy, it's bad fruit punch. Like, it's just, it's gross. It's disgusting.
You're very passionate about this.
Yeah, thing. I really
That's
am.
That's why I brought it up.
Yeah. You want a 30 seconds of local concert updates?
Oh, yeah, please.
Locked in Lit and Fuel at Green Valley Ranch for March. I've locked in Ludacris for June, and I got to get you Babyface tickets because coming back to the Palms.
Babyface, baby. Do you see the Grammys thing where those two little pisher reporters for the AP were asked Babyface some question? He got 5 words into it, and they're like, Chapel Roan or whatever her name is. And Babyface was like, oh, you want to talk to her? Why don't you go ahead and do that? So disrespectful. So disrespectful. Stormy's next with Money Moves right here at VC Sports Betting Network.